start today with apologies if you did actually listen to all of the Lent devotionals, which were awesome. Again, thank you for everyone participating. I want to start today by sharing with you one of my short reflections from Lent, which was the six-week period leading up to Easter, which just finished, when we focused on seeking to draw near to God prior to today's great celebration of Easter. And by the way, did you know that Easter in the East and the West is celebrated today? It only happens once in a blue moon. It is Easter in the Orthodox Church where Peter and Alex are. It's Easter all over the world and everywhere, every Christian tradition, it is today. The next time will be 2028. That's not that far away. I don't know, maybe I got that wrong. But anyway, I still think we're in the early 2000s. You know what I'm saying? Still getting into the decade. So I'm going to start with a scripture that we all know and love, John 3:16 in the NRSV. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. And John 3:16 has been termed as the golden text of the Bible, or the gospel in a nutshell. And the late Rachel Held Evans, who was an influential 30-something Christian columnist, blogger, and author, wisely noted that Jesus did not simply die to save us from our sins. Jesus lived to save us from our sins. His life and teachings show us the way to liberation. And on the other end of the spectrum, a 90-something Christian writer, farmer, academic, and activist who has become beloved to me and as I've begun to read some of his many works, Wendell Berry, penned these words, "All my life I had heard preachers quoting John 3:16. They would preach on the second part of the verse to show the easiness of being saved, only believe. But where I hung now was the first part. If God loved the world even before the event at Bethlehem, that meant he loved it as it was. With all our faults, Jesus lived to save us from our sins." So as I reflect on this very well-known scripture, I am drawn to the verbs, the actions. God loved, God gave, everyone who believes may not perish, may have eternal life. And so I love languages, you all know that. And it's interesting to notice that in some languages and cultures, the most important sentence or phrase in a sentence, the thing you really want to get across, is placed in the first or second position. But in some languages, the most important thing is last. So in John 3:16, it's enfolded between love and life. For God so loved that we may have eternal life. So may we aim to both remember and practice the most important things. We too are enfolded between love and life. God loved us as we are, with all our faults. Jesus lived to save us from our sins. May all that we are and all that we do contribute to a single-minded devotion to Christ as we continually choose love and choose life. So I invite us to hold this beautiful reality in one hand, that we are enfolded between love and life. And in the other hand, we're going to consider the phrase, "Come and see." So as I pondered Easter Sunday this year, the Holy Spirit kept bringing this phrase, "come and see," to mind. And it's a phrase that occurs three times in Scripture. And in each case, it's a special invitation to turn more fully toward God. It is a beckoning to devote our attention and our senses to God. So the first invitation is provided in Psalm 66, 1-5, which calls us to make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you, sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. So we are invited to come and see what God has done. As we come and as we see, may our hearts and minds and bodies, our voices and actions and lives worship God as we make a joyful noise, as we give God glorious praise and sing the glory of God's name, and living a life that is tilted towards God and actively worshiping God increases our awareness and our assurance that we are indeed enfolded between love and life. And we find the second invitation in John 1, 43-46, the day after Jesus called the apostle Peter to follow him. Here we are in John 1, 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, the brothers. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. We are invited to come and see Jesus. As we come and see, may we follow Jesus every step of the way, in every season of life, in every kind of weather. We can trust that no matter where we go, Jesus always leads us on a path in which we are continually enfolded between love and life. And the third and final invitation is given later in the Gospel of John, when Jesus responds to an invitation to visit the home of siblings Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who was very sick and actually has already died and been buried. In John 11, 32-36, we read, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. And as we come and see, may we weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. May we allow God to call us to places where deep gladness we have received in Jesus Christ meets the world's deep hunger. It is in those places where we proclaim, demonstrate, and embody the reality that we are enfolded between love and life. Beloved brothers and sisters, today is the day when we celebrate love and we celebrate life. Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. Now, in his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ, the living God, overcame all the powers of the world to establish his rule of justice and peace on earth as it is in heaven. God's plan to put the world right has finally been launched. Come and see. Christ has risen. He is risen indeed. We are invited to receive the good news that we are enfolded between love and life. We are invited to experience this good news as we come and see. And we are invited to continue spreading the good news of the kingdom of God as Jesus began to do. We are invited to become a part of and embody the good news wherever we go for the greater glory of God. And so now we're going to celebrate communion. We're doing it a little different today. You might have noticed the Lord's Supper together. So even though we celebrate communion each and every Sunday at Liberty Vineyard Church, we're going to do something a little different. And as a foundational step in embodying the good news, I want to invite each of us today to come, and not just see, but to come forward to receive the elements, the bread and the cup, as we commune with Jesus Christ together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body and your blood, which you have given for us. We rejoice that you are risen from the dead, and because of that, we are invited to receive the good news that we are enfolded between love and life. We believe you. Please help our unbelief. Please help us to receive all that you are and all that you want to give us. We want to spread your good news wherever we go. Please help us to be faithful spreaders of the good news of the kingdom of God for your glory. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. One more time. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter.